time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we discuss the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs.
And I've got a question for you, Gary, as we start today. We've been talking lately about the church, going to church, choosing a church, why there are so many churches. Do you think we can ever look forward to the day when there'll be just one church? And there may be two sides to looking at this, because if you ever hear any of the scuttlebutt, any of the conspiracy theories that's going around, there's coming one world church that's going to sucker everybody, and maybe there'll be a few holdouts standing on the side of the Lord. So that's the negative side. Can we look at this positively and say, one day we're all going to come together in the right frame of mind to worship at Jesus' feet? What do you think?
There are over 5,000, 10,000 churches. In fact, I saw somebody count 10,000 churches.
That was a quick jump from 5,000 a month.
It was. It used to be 5, and it just went up to 10.
Okay.
I wrote a book called One World Church, and I want to make that available to our listeners. They'll stay with us at the end of the program. We'll give the address and phone number, and you call in and get that. Coming One World Church. But to answer your question, will there ever be one church? Yes, there will.
Okay. What church is it?
Well, of course, it's my church.
Oh, all right. It's not my church. Then it's your church.
No, it's not yours. It's my church.
Well, that's probably the answer everyone will give.
Exactly. That's my point. If you ask everybody, they're going to say, well, I know all the other churches are bad, but I've got the church. It's my church. And that's why we have so many different churches, because we have this egotism that we have it right, nobody else does. And I think we have to recognize that we all have problems.
Yeah, sure. And Jesus, you know, said, except you be as little children. That is, among other things, a willingness to learn, a humility about you, a willingness to say, well, maybe I don't know everything, and perhaps I've got some learning to do. I meet a lot of people, you know, from lots and lots of different churches, and I meet very few people who say, you know, maybe I don't have it all right. Perhaps I need to drop some of my beliefs and take on an improved understanding of the Bible. Not too many people are willing to say that.
I met a fellow, I was young in the faith, just started becoming a Christian, and there was a period in my life where I said, you know, I want to go out and I would give Bible studies to people, and I asked God to lead me to sincere seekers of His Word and His truth. And I moved all the way from Alabama up to Connecticut, and my first day out to go follow up people who had requested Bible studies through the mail, I went and found this fellow. His name was David. And David had been going from church to church for months, just several months, going from church to church, looking for a church that was teaching the Bible. He was reading the Bible on his own. Mm. And as he was reading the Bible, he was saying, okay, here's what God's church should teach. All right, here's another thing. But he couldn't find his church. He'd go to these churches. And then when I met him, he'd just given up. In fact, the day before, he said, God, I can't find your church. You're going to have to lead me to someone who could show me what the Word of God teaches.
And the next day you turned
up. I showed
up
the next day, and I had this deep Southern accent. And he said, where are you from? I said, Alabama. I'm from Alabama. And he said, what are you doing up here in Connecticut? I said, well, I came here to study the Bible with you. And long story short, we got Bible studies together. And God blessed him, and he did find a church that taught the truth and the Bible, and he grew in that church. But this question, will there ever be one church? Let's answer it with Jesus' own words.
Okay, sure.
In John 10:16, he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, the church is the flock. In Acts 20, we read that analogy as well. But here he says, there's going to be one fold. We're not going to have numerous folds because there's only one shepherd, and that's Christ. And God's people scattered throughout all the different denominations, all the independent churches, one day the true sincere seekers in all those churches are going to come together. They're going to come together on the Word of God.
There's a verse in the Song of Solomon talking about the triumph of the church at last. It's a powerful verse where the Bible says, who is this that looketh forth fair as the morning. Oh, wait a minute. Who is this that looks forth fair as the moon, clear as the sun, mm-hmm. and terrible as an army with banners? Mm-hmm. The Bible predicts a day where the church is going to be powerfully triumphant. So you don't need to look around Christianity today and say it's all bad news and it's all a no good future. There's a great day coming for the church.
Song of Solomon 6:10. There is a great day coming. And the Bible predicted that there would be this falling apart. falling away. The church would fall away from the truth that Jesus established and that the apostles taught. But he also says there's going to be this restoration of truth in Acts chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. I think it's a very interesting text, John, that our listeners should look up in their own Bibles in their own time when they're able to. And look at this, because the Bible says there in Acts 3:20 or verse 19, "Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he'll send Jesus Christ, which was before preached to you." So he's talking about the return of Jesus. Repent. Jesus is going to come, his presence. He's going to return.
Sure.
But before that happens, verse 21 says, "Whom the heavens must receive," or other translations say the heavens must retain. Jesus must stay in heaven until something. "Until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now here's what the scripture is saying. It's saying before Jesus can come back, God is going to restore the truths of his word and his kingdom that have been spoken by all his holy prophets since the world began.
Now what do you think that means? Does that mean that every Christian out there is suddenly going to come up to the light and follow in the truth of God's word? Does it mean that all the churches are going to get rid of their cobwebs and start teaching the truths of God's word? If there's going to be restitution, how can I be on the right side of that restitution? See, that's the question.
Well, God's
restoration, I guess, is the word.
God is going to have this movement, and it's going on right now, where his Holy Spirit is working out there in the world, in the churches and outside the church. And God's Spirit is seeking those who really want Bible truth, who really want a relationship with him. See, too often we just get settled in our churches.
That's the truth.
We get very comfortable with that, and we're not in full pursuit of God. But God has those people. And as they study the Word of God, they're going to learn there are things that our churches are doing that are not in the Word of God. We have idols. We have images. We have icons. We're worshiping on the wrong day of the week. You know, we're not honoring God with our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So many of these things that we're going to find as we're a sincere seeker, and we're going to say, where's God teaching this? Where's a group of people? Well, if that doesn't exist as a group, they're going to make it. These people are going to flock together, as Jesus said in John 10, because they're listening to the Word of God.
And I think these questions are serious questions for the person who is in love with Jesus Christ. You see, the closer you get to Jesus, the more important the truths of his word become. The closer you get to Jesus, the more accurately you want to reflect him, understand him, and be connected with him. So we're not talking about trivialities here in some of these questions and biblical teachings that will be discussed and perhaps discovered by people down in the end of time. This is the result of the outworking of the Holy Spirit of God, or the inworking of the Holy Spirit of God, guiding us into all truth. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do that. It makes no sense, I think, to imagine that you're going to have 10 saved people when Jesus comes, any 10, and they all think 10 different things on every different Bible subject. It would be hard to be ready for two different people to be ready for the return of Jesus if they believed completely different and perhaps diametrically opposed systems of doctrinal belief. It doesn't make sense. Yet that's what we practice today. You're in your church on your side of the street. I'm up the street and he's across the street. We all believe differently, but praise the Lord, we're all going to heaven. It's hard to imagine that if Jesus were to come back 5 minutes from now and we fervently believe differing things, had we the opportunity to understand and practice the truth, that we'd be ready to go.
God is going to bring his people together, and that's the good thing, that he's going to bring us across the street to meet each other. And there's a prophecy. I wish we had time to go into this, but our listeners need to write. They need to call and get this book, Coming One World Church, that I wrote. But in Revelation 18, it talks about there's a call that will go out in the last days, that Babylon the Great is fallen, has fallen. Now, Babylon is pictured in Revelation as being a harlot woman. Now, a woman in Bible prophecy represents a church.
That's correct.
A pure woman, like in Revelation 12, represents God's true people. Revelation 12:17, it says she's the one that keeps the commandments of God, has the testimony of Jesus. But then in Revelation 17:18, you've got this harlot woman, Babylon. And these are the churches that are fornicating with the world, using the language of the Bible.
Sure.
They're not being faithful to their one spouse, Jesus Christ. So they're compromising biblical truth in order to gain the favor of the world. Well, there's going to be a movement in the last days, and I believe it's already started, where God's going to give a message to us individually as well as corporately. And he's going to say, listen, these churches are Babylon. They're not going to change, and you need to come out of them. And in verse 4, it's God personally giving that invitation to us. It says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague. So God's going to call his people out of Babylon into his church, where people are really following God.
Now, there's a lot in that verse 4, and as you, I wish we had time to go into all of that. Couple of things. If we don't come out of Babylon, false worship and so forth, ultimately we receive of the plagues, the 7 last plagues. That's
and it's
serious.
Because we share her guilt. It says that you be not partakers of her sins.
Right.
I know a guy who was out with his buddies, and they I don't know how people do this, but they were going to go rob a store, you know, and they were teenagers, and they said, well, yeah, let's do this. And so they go up to this store, and this guy I know, he's driving the car. And his story is, no, I didn't want to do it and all this stuff. But they go in the store. In fact, they may have gone and not told him what they were going to do.
Mm.
They run out. We've robbed this store. Take off. He takes off. Well, when they get busted and they get caught, guess what? He goes to jail.
He's a partaker of their sins.
That's right.
An accomplice.
He needed to get out of the car when he found out that they were sinning, that they were breaking the law. He needed to get out and walk away and say, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And let the cops come pick him up right there on the scene and say, hey, I don't want anything to do with this. This is what happened. But because he went with them, he was a partaker. Therefore, he was guilty. He spent time in jail.
You know, there's something else in this verse that's very encouraging. What God says in there is, come out of her, my people. It's good to understand that God knows that he has a lot of people heading towards heaven that right now don't have all their ducks in a row. They might not understand everything as he wants them to understand. They might not be practicing the Bible teachings 100% correctly. They may be a long way from home plate, but they're rounding the bases. You know, they're growing in grace, and they're being led by God's Holy Spirit into more and more truth. That's why God says, these are my people. You mentioned in John 10 when we began today, other sheep I have. Right now, they're not of this fold, but they'll hear my voice, but they'll come. So friend, you got to be listening for the voice of God. And when God speaks, he's seeking to draw us up. He wants to grow us, you know. The kingdom of God is like that seed, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn, maturity. And that's what God wants to bring us to, you see.
And we have to be willing to come out. We have to be willing to move as God is moving us. I grew up in a particular church, and this church really gave me a real firm foundation in the Bible. They taught the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They taught the divinity of Christ, his sacrificial death. We're saved by what he did on the cross and not through ourselves.
Those things
they
are true.
They taught baptism as a conversion and giving your life to the Lord. It taught me a number of wonderful things. But as I grew older and I began studying the Bible for myself, I realized that there was more than what they were teaching me. So I began looking for a church that really was teaching all the Word of God.
And friend, we want to encourage you to do exactly the same. Never stop pressing forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you and guide you into all truth. We thank you so very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you next time for more here on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Coming One World Church. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.